The scenes from the very beginning of the kinos, how Minhagi Yisrael capture the theme of the day. We begin the first kina in the middle of a kina. This kina was first, seems to have been written as paragraphs that were assigned to every paragraph in Shmoneh Esrei. Some of the old Sifrei Kinos, if you have the first English kinos that by Rosenfeld, so he still has in his davening, he still has the way the kina was originally put. That in the Chazaras Hashatz, apparently they would stop after every bracha and say a paragraph that was then introduced, and then continue. And they got up to the letter Nun or Samach, and then that was left over for the end. And that's why after laning, so we picked up in the middle of that kina. And if you have a chance to look at that kina, so that what Elozer, what Rabbi Kalir is doing, Elozer Kalir is, he's muting every single paragraph. Every paragraph is a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every paragraph is a request for something. So in Tisha B'Av, certainly in the morning we don't make our own personal requests. In Tisha B'Av we feel that our davening is muted, that we don't have the ability to daven, we don't have the koach ha-tefillah that we have in any other day. That's why in Tisha B'Av, so we say Tehillah and we leave it usually for the afternoon. Person has, Rachmana Litzlan, a chola, a very specific person who's took ill just before Tisha B'Av, or her situation worsened, so then in that case we'd make a Mishabech, in that case we would say Tehillim. But if it's a person from whom we've been saying Tehillim for, not, there's no crisis on Tisha B'Av itself, so we would say Tehillim only much later on in the afternoon when we feel that the koach ha-tefillah has been returned to us. So apparently what Elozer Kalir envisioned is that we would, during Chazaras Hashatz, we would say a bracha, and then instead of the bracha evoking within us certain concerns that each of us have, Baruch Aleinu, concern for Parnasa, Rafa'inu, a specific cholin, Goleinu, a specific crisis, so instead we mourn for a moment. We don't say anything. We don't allow the paragraph in davening and allow it to evoke a personal bakasha. So apparently, as time evolved, so either the concern of a hefsek during Shmoneh Esrei took over, and as a result, we don't say this kina. Perhaps people felt that the kina had the opposite purpose, was encouraging the koach ha-tefillah. So instead, we begin the kina with Shava Suri Menu Shimuni Archai, Schiyu Mois, Simuni Be'edre Chaveroi. That, Kadosh Baruch Hu says he doesn't want to hear that Shiva Sakosa, Mishkan Mishkos Divirai. That he's covered over the Mishkan in order not to be able to hear our words. So the Minig Yisrael catches the tzara, the biggest tzara we have in Tisha B'Av, is that we don't have the Mokom HaTzfilah that Klal Yisrael should have. We don't have the access to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael should have. And that's how we begin this kima after the part that was wrapped around the Shmoneh Esrei. I was thinking that the phrase Sakosa Mishkan Mishchos Divirai, that he's covered the Mishkan from hearing our words. So in previous years, that's how we interpreted it. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, instead of that, we know that the essence of Mishkan, of oil Moed, is the cover. So the Mishkan had three covers. So those three covers were, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wondered how his Mishkan should look. So we have a plain word that a Kadosh Baruch Hu covered over the Mishkan so he wouldn't have to listen to our davening. But probably the interpretation is a Kosa Mishkan, a Kadosh Baruch Hu covered over the Mishkan Shel Mala. Mishchos Nirai. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his own Mishkan. This Mishkan Shel Mala, Chaim Volozhiner explains at the beginning of Nefesh HaChayim, Chaim Lushner wants to make the point that our, that when it's on a good day, not on Tisha B'Av, how powerful our davening is. And how powerful our mitzvahs are. Chaim Lushner points, uses the Perek Dalet, very beginning, the first shah, uses the Churban Bayis to show how powerful our davening is, how powerful our mitzvahs are. Because he says that the Gemara says that with all of the strength of Titus, and with all the strength of Nebuchadnezzar, if the Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have lost confidence in our mitzvahs, so Titus and Nebuchadnezzar would not have been able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Kemach Tochon Tichain, says in Aramaic, Kemach Tochon is Tichneis, that by the time Titus got Beis HaMikdash, the flour had been ground already. What Titus did is he ground flour. It doesn't take a lot of strength to do that. Kadosh Baruch Hu had removed his protection from the Beis HaMikdash, Titus was able to move in. So Chaim Volozhiner says the real ability to defend Beis HaMikdash, to hold off Titus and the Nebuchadnezzar, is our mitzvahs. That's how we have the koch to do that. So that's the power. The Jew should never say whatever his individual mitzvah is worth. Our individual mitzvahs, in that case in a cumulative fashion, would have much more strength than the armies of Titus. So that's the and then Chaim Volozhiner goes on to explain that is the Beis HaMikdash Sholmala. The Beis HaMikdash Sholmata is the Mishkan Sholmata, the Arios. The Mishkan Sholmata are the curtains, the Menorah, Shulchan, the Oren, the Mizbech Azov, Mizbech HaNechoshes. Mikdash Sholmata is the steps and the buildings, and again the Venera and the Mizbeach, the Mizbechos, and the Shulchan Kotchik. That's the Mishkan Mikdash Sholmata. The Mikdash Sholmala is the Klal Yisrael's davening, Klal Yisrael's mitzvahs. The Mikdash Sholmala is that individuals are able to absorb the ideas of the Menorah and the ideas of the Shulchan for their own lives. The Mishkan Sholmata is a physical representation of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael's connection, but the Mikdash Sholmala is the connection. The Mikdash Sholmala is the Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to our davening. The Mikdash Sholmala is the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes our tefillah seriously. The Mikdash Sholmala is that a Jew is willing to sacrifice. Is that a Jew understands parnasa comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Jew appreciates the menorah, the or Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Mikdash Sholmala. So Chaim Volozhiner says that when the Kadosh Baruch Hu had lost his concern or his connection, when the Mikdash Sholmala evaporated, so that's what allowed the Mikdash Sholmala to become vulnerable. As long as the Mikdash Sholmala was strong, the Mikdash Sholmala was impenetrable. So that's that Kosa Mishkan, Mishos Derei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his, he covered over the Mikdash Sholmala, his Mishkan, the Mikdash Sholmala, the real connection and concern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael became hidden, became tarnished. And that's what allowed Sarkoise Mahubugi Boyrai. So then, even the strong ones in this world were able to become easily overwhelmed. We close the first kina by saying, "Abedna amcha kulanu, zechor Hashem v'ayolanu." We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember all the things we had going for us, and then in the next kina we identify the various parts of the relationship the Kadosh Baruch Hu had with us. Beis HaMikdash Sholmala. We identify Yetzias Mitzrayim. Uvechein divarnu. After we say, "How v'leizacharta deligas dilug derech asher delagtum l'dgalecha." You don't remember the kvitas aderach, the way that you were willing to speed up. Rashi says at the beginning of Devarim that a trip that would take 11 days took us only 3 days. And then we say, you don't remember that we have a special meeting place that the Kodesh Baruch Hu established for us. You don't remember the chasana, that the laws that were being handed down in Chorein, that you engraved for us, we explained last night, that being engraved for us was a, in and of itself, something so unusual that we would be able to have, we have the luchos, the luchos and the shivri luchos. The shivri luchos were etzvalekim. Shivri luchos were osios, letters that were held up by an ace. That's a shechakakta lechamulecha. Leizacharta yikar yedidus yosha sheichavnidecha. You don't remember the friendship, the expression, the precious of our friendship. Yosha, the straightforward laws that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, the Torah that Hashem gave us. Lo zacharta, lo uznoach la'olam, asher limad l'tach, you don't remember that we have a bris, we have a haftacha, never to forget us. Lo zacharta, nesias, notzas, nesher, asher nesosu and suvecha, you don't remember how you carried us out and with such love on the wings of eagles. Lo zacharta, od adi adayayim, sheritat l'madach, you don't remember the jewels that you gave us, that you adorned us at Har Sinai, Zacharta Tzalas Tzvi Tzadik, Asher Tzafanta Litzvecha. And you don't remember the simcha, the songs that we said that you set aside for your host, that you gave us those the gifts of the Shira, which ultimately come from Malachim. So this is a kina that is a double-edged kina. And it's really the double edge of every Eicha. Because as we turn to Hashem and we say that how could you forget your own investment within Klal Yisrael, and after providing it to Yis Mitzrayim and Mikdash and Sinai and Torah, so there's so much that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to lose by distancing himself from Klal Yisrael. So at the same time, it's a double edged kina, because we're saying the same thing to ourselves. That how could it be that we ignored the tremendous investments and the different ways in which Kodesh Baruch Hu expressed how he chose Klal Yisrael? And this really gives expression to the idea of Eicha, which is continuously reinforced throughout the kinos. That Eicha, we're saying, how could this happen? How could when somebody plans things out meticulously and makes a tremendous investment and puts all his efforts into something, and the plan works and works and works for a long period of time, and then something unravels. So he's forever looking back and saying, where did I go wrong? How could it unravel? We planned, we invested, we analyzed things, we had the right people in place. On the other hand, Eicha also, at the same time that we're saying, how could all of these investments not work out? And as we say Eicha, so part of us turns to ourselves as well and say, how could we not make good on how Kodesh Baruch Hu expressed himself and the confidence that Kodesh Baruch Hu had within us? That's why at the very end of this kina, so we finish by saying, Al Nebi Yem Zen Eshbinu Kamoyim, Zachru Bi Yosi Vishalma Yeshem Es Birushalayim. And as we turn to Hashem and we say, how could Hashem not remember the various investments he made within Klal Yisrael? So when I'm saying Zachri B'Yosi B'Shalva, Yeshem is Yerushalayim, we remember well the time when we would sit in peace in Yerushalayim. Or Ganti V'Atan, when you remember how good the peaceful times were, Adad Chug HaShemayim. And then he says, then the Kina says, that we jump up, person, the English expression, to jump out of one's skin. That a person jumps and would hope that that his words reach the heavens, and that's the beginning of the next kina. Allah iti shamayim, Allah with an aleph means that I will raise my curse to the heavens. Or yom machridi pamayim, not that we would curse, but that the curse that has been placed upon us. Or yom machridi pamayim, and we will curse the day that is the day of both churbanos beis hamikdash. It's only in mitin rishimayim, and I moan, who would be able to give me a head only full of water, only full of tears? We explained last night how Tisha B'Av initially was going to be a day of Simcha, and because we were shaken up by the report of the Meraglims, it became a night of Bechi, and that's when it turned from a day of joy to a day of crying. And that's in the Torah. And the Torah says that we cried b'layla hu in that night. So Rashi points out, the Gemara says that that night became set aside for Bechi for generations later on. And now I would be able to distinguish between the different nights. I'd be able to understand which night, in fact, is a night for crying and which is a night of joy. The Navi says that Mashiach will come through Midbar Yehuda. There's a Midbar that expresses our trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lech techachav Midbar Be'eretz Lezeruah. That Mashiach will come through Midbar and Midbar Sinai. And then there's a Midbar which is a wasteland, which is representative of Golos. So I'll be able to make these distinctions. And that's the goes on to say, Adav Chalevan Siyeu. That's the almost creating the same kind of imagery as that of Shir Hashirim. That after the loss of Churban Bayis, so we become sick. We have our Adav Chalev. My entire heart is full of aggravation. I'm still able to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eida milin bomlan sayu. If only I could find the words that would be able to give strength to Rebbeinu Shem, again to give us gili ponim. Edag ayeiro emelom sayu. And they worry, where is the shepherd? I don't find him. Akonin miyitin yodati ven sayu. If only we would be able to find the place of Ashras Shechina. Previous Mashkiach of Lakewood, Rav Nachtfogel, so he points out in one of his sichos, one of the themes that he would speak about often is that what we have missing is this sense of bikosh, this sheifa, this yearning for things to come back to the way they used to be. This sense of missing something, missing a place where Kadosh Baruch Hu's, where our tefillos are more easily accepted. He writes, he once said in the Sicha that when the Benos Tzolofchot said, Loma Nigora, Loma Yigora, so he says that the Benos Tzolofchot really did not have a Taina. He said that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given the Halachas of Yerusha. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as often as pointed out, could have easily turned around and said, these are the rules. The rules are that Tzlochon didn't live at the right time, didn't die at the right time, and therefore his children don't have Yerusha. So he said, but Kadosh Baruch Hu was so, the idea of someone saying, Loma Yigara is so precious to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're hard to say. Sounds like he's saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu actually left this area of Halacha open to be worked out. It's a hard thing to say. The idea that he says is that when the Venos Lachot said Loma Yigara, the idea of that we're not going to have a place in Israel, and that she'ifa, that yearning to have a place in Israel was so powerful that they convinced themselves that they have a right to Israel. That they came and they stood up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can imagine the courage it takes to stand in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and say Loma Yigara, that the courage it takes that brought Moshe Rabbeinu back to consult with the Shechina. That Sichi points out that the Rogatchev Agoin, the Rogatchev Agoin and Rav Simcha Midvinsk, though they both lived in Dvinsk, they overlapped. Rav Meir Simcha was nifta before the Rogatchev. The Rogatchev was just a blazing genius of a mind. Or Simcha also was a genius. The Rogatchev gave the hespin for Rav Meir Simcha. So Rogatchev said that Rav Meir Simcha's great strength was his she'ifa to understand. He said that the Or Sameach became the Or Sameach because Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, became the Meshech Chochma because he had such a powerful yearning to understand. And that was such a compelling driving force. It's hard for us to appreciate. Because Baruch Hu appreciates, because it's precious to Rabbeinu Shalom when a Jew says Lomi Yigara. So that's what this kina focuses on. I would turn and turn and turn like a wheel with my words. What we would give now to be able to have that connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We feel we would jump up to the heavens to be able to recapture those times. Adir chum shemayim, ala iti shemayim, oyim, mechiyu pamoyim, mesayim, mechiyu pamoyim. Adir mechiyu. Asking the end, Zeicha Sefarti Me Rasha Sai Ishlichu. How could it be that the Kadosh Baruch Hu threw down our glory? That's what we spoke about last night. That Yirmiyahu writes the beginning of the second parak of Eicha. Ishlichu Mishemai Moritz. We spoke about the Igra Romo Levira Amikta, a very high perch to a lowly state. Eichos Sefarti Me Ra'ash Osai Ishlichu Uchneged Kisi Akoved Tzelen Elichu. These are further expressions of the Igra Romu Lebira Mikta, that next to Kisi Akoved, next to Mokom Mikdash, put up in the Avodah Zarah, V'chalolam Tanai Shechoy Zayin Nimlochu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Elazar Kali responds for the Shechina, and every paragraph that we'll say now begins with a pasuk from Eicha, and every paragraph concludes with a pasuk from the Tochacha, and Ki'ilu that the Shechina is responding to us. V'nam in Mechukoy Saiteleichu, that as much as we are wondering, how could something of such a sublime nature become so downtrodden? How could it be that the Beis Hamikdash should house an Avodah Zarah? They forgot the brachos that are theirs. And that's why the beginning of this and most of this kina focuses on having forgotten the brachos, chelef nesati gishmichem beitam, timur v'isiglechem dayish esbotzim, tachas v'nesati shalom v'oretz. End of every paragraph reminds us of the brachos that we should have had. So if we were writing this kina, so we probably would have skipped the middle of the kina, begin the middle of the kina, that's where he switches to reminding us of the Pesukei Teichacha, and the way that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will neglect us. But what Rav Elazar Kalim is pointing out is that we should have been able to find encouragement to maintain our allegiance to the Ribbono Shel Olam because all the brachas are ours. If we would have kept taken seriously v'nasati gishrichem be'itam, if we would have taken seriously v'sigilchem da'ish es botzi, if we would have taken seriously how all of these brachos speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu's concern for us, if we would have seen in these brachos not just the blessing that it is, if we would have seen that these are Kadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself through Klal Yisrael, v'nasati mechem be'itam, that Eretz Yisrael will always have rain at the right time. Imagine the Kiddush Hashem would be if there'd never be a drought in Eretz Yisrael, never be a concern in Israel for water. V'nasati shalom v'aretz, if after years and years and years it would be realized that Eretz Yisrael never had a battle, never had a war. If it become clear that when we were embattled, so the odds were tremendously against us, that with much fewer people we were able to root out an enemy, there was a bounty of produce, we didn't have to depend on imports, we didn't have to export. So if these things will be, when these things will happen and become noticed, it'll be great Kiddush Hashem. So that's Echos Sefatim Roshasai Shlichu. How could it be that what was supposed to be a great Kiddush Hashem became unraveled? It isn't happening. It instead became, as we said last night, a form of Chilul Hashem. So Beloza Kalir says, because we forgot what it means to be part of the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We forgot the way that we function, the way that our state will run, will be everything that happens in the state will be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So when we forgot how we can be, what it means for us to be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, that's how the Beis HaMikdash became unraveled, because as we said before, it was first the Beis HaMikdash Sholmala that became unraveled, and only then the Beis HaMikdash Sholmat. Echos Avarti Mei Rosh Hashanah Shlichu Chereki Tehkomet Shereki 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 Tehkomet Afani Bachon Miyake Shikoroin, Orva Simcha, Ishmi Sachoroin, Orva Tishay Vegeme Gorin, Yechayisha Hamashem, Yisra Shomroin. How could it be that those flowers of the Sharon that are always fresh, the domam roini pinoise oran, and the shira, the song that normally would come from those who carry the earth in the vim, became silenced. The noli mishroi som koyanim ne aron, kinim serabais from sori maron. And the 24 mishmaros, the 24 groups of Kohanim, that mishmaros are supposed to be watching over the Beis HaMikdash, so they became disbanded as the Beis HaMikdash was given over during the mishmaros of Yehoyariv. That Misori Maron are seen as those who rebelled or who refused to take care of the sheep, the Korbanis, in the proper fashion. And that's this Kina in the 24 paragraphs, one for each of the Mishmeres Kohuna. We know that David HaMelech divided the Kohanim into 24 groups, so the Kohanim would be serving in Mikdash once every 2 weeks. And by serving in Mikdash only once every 2 weeks, and in Yom Tovim, so it was expected that the Kohanim would be a Chavetzelas HaSharon, would always have a sense of newness. You know, Kohen had to be in Mikdash every single day, so we're concerned that he would become jaded, that the excitement of being in Mikdash would not be there. Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that that is one of the major reasons why there's a whole concept of Tumah. Because Baruch Hu knows that if a person can come into Mikdash whenever he wants, so they'll lose the excitement, even the base of Mikdash. How are we going to maintain an excitement for being in Mikdash? So Rambam Mor Nevuchim writes, that's why you have a system of Tumah. One of the reasons for the system of Tumah. So a person has to go to Mikdash, he has to plan his entire schedule around going to Mikdash. He has to plan, we'll go to Mikdash based on his own schedule. But then he has to schedule everything around Mikdash. He won't go to Levaya because he doesn't want to become Tomei. He won't visit first in the hospital because he has to go to Mikdash. So, the Kohanim were divided up into groups. Presumably, that way the Kohanim would maintain their excitement of always being fresh. They know they only had, and in those 2 weeks, then Kohen would only serve you one day, maybe 2 days of those 2 weeks. So you can imagine him, a Kohen, his job was to be in Mikdash. And he trained to be in Mikdash, and he trained to do Korbanos. And that was part of the family part. And he gets to be in Mikdash Yom Tovim. Anybody can come in Yom Tov. And he's there for 2 weeks out of the year. And those 2 weeks he works for 2 days. So you can imagine that the excitement he had for that period of time. That's why it says Chametel Fasholim. We would expect the Kohanim to have an ongoing excitement whenever they get called into Mikdash. That's probably why the Shevet Levi was chosen, because when Moshe Rabbeinu said Mil Hashem Elai, so it was the Levim who responded when Moshe asked them to step forward in the time of the Chayit HaEyal. So they showed that Kohanim is a reasoning. They showed that sense of Zerizah, that sense of excitement. That's the kind of Zerizah a person requires from Avodas Hashem. So the Kohanim, Levim exhibited it. The Kohanim maintained it. Kohanim is a reasoning. The Kohanim maintained such Zerizah that they did not require, the Gemara says, in Shmus Mikdash. They didn't require Dinim Devarbonon to help them out. And we can be pretty sure that if they only worked in that limited schedule so they could maintain their excitement, it was supposed to be a Chametzela Sashon. And yet, the Kohanim felt that they didn't accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. That's why the Gemara in Taina says that the end of Bayis, during the time of Chulim Bayis, so the Kohanim threw the keys up, and the hand came down to accept it. What would the Kohanim say? They said, we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We didn't maintain our jobs. They returned the keys. They gave the keys, they turned the keys in. And when the hand came down and accepted it, Kadosh Baruch Hu was accepting that the Kohanim hadn't maintained their tafka. That's why there's a special kina just for the Kohanim. That every family made its own kina. Obviously the loss that they felt was greater, because they were much more a part of the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. They were the ones who saw the miracles happening all the time. At the same time, we know that we had mentioned before Chet of Shiva, Chet of Bnei Eli, that the Kohanim that was referred to in Navi, the Chet of Shiva, the Chet of Bnei Eli, that they misused their position. That people brought korbanos, so they played games with when they would take the korbanos. Sometimes they would play games, they would play politics, they would to their own advantage, would sometimes schedule different korbanos at different times, make people stay. That's the opposite of reason. Their job was reason. Their job was, the person comes to the korban, so they should be accepted with tremendous excitement. The person brought a korban, they come from all the way, come from the north, the south. So to come with a korban and say, all right, we'll take care of it tomorrow. We'll take care of it tomorrow. I came with a korban today. I have arranged my whole schedule to be in Mesa Mikdash. So with the korban, we're supposed to communicate the sense of Zerizus. Zerizus is the cornerstone for Avonis Hashem, Mesil Sesharim, the very first leader of Zerizus. So the Kohanim, they, different periods of time, did not encourage this than the way they were supposed to. That's why Melozer Kalir formulated a special kina just for the Mishmaris Kahuna. Finish the skina by Ikonin Yumi Al Yeshio. After the skina will be our first break for those who have to finish the kinos now. Those who want to maybe help out their wives at home and check in on things. So after the skina, so we'll go downstairs and complete with Elit Zion and Ashiv Elit Zion. This skina figures in a very important way into the mourning, into the piyutim of Loza Kalir, as we pointed out in previous years and made reference to in our Shurim and Navi, that Yeshua Navi represented, Yeshua Melech represented that period of time when the Beis Hamikdash did become refurbished, when there was a sense of zerizos and a sense of zehiros and a sense of excitement about the Beis Hamikdash. That's probably why we move from the Kina of the Kohanim to Yeshua Melech. Navi says that Yeshua Melech was able to postpone the Churban Bayis for 22 years because of his efforts. Yeshua Melech lives after the Golos of the 10 tribes, as we've been discussing in the Navi Shirim, that Ashur had already taken over most of the north of them. We talk about the north, we don't speak about the north that we mean right now. When we talk about the north, we mean that Ashur had most of Eretz Yisrael all the way through the part through Lebanon, which is Eretz Yisrael, and all the way down through the middle of Eretz Yisrael till north of Yerushalayim. And there were still pockets of Jews left in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, pockets of other Shvatim. We know that because Chizkiah Melech tried to get them together for his Korban Pesach. But the concentration of Jews, the area is only Yehuda and south where Jews were living, and with any kind of significant numbers. And Yeshua HaMelech came after the attempt of Chizkiah HaMelech to bring the Jews back to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. After all the efforts of Chizkiah HaMelech became unraveled through his son Menashe, so then Yeshua HaMelech came sometime later. Yeshua HaMelech was, as the Kina points out, Eicha Eli Koinu Me'elov Ben Shmoy Neshama Echel Drosh Me'elokov, that Yeshua HaMelech somehow was inspired at the young age of 8 when he became king. He was somehow inspired to seek out God, Benechom Ba'ov M'chonu Olov, even though later on he will end up to be done in. He'll be defeated by Bnei Chon, by the Egyptians. Who's Kalei Sigim if all of, how could it be that this person who began to seek out God at 8 would end up becoming overwhelmed by the Egyptian army that came from the south? And who's Kalei Sigim if all the things that he accomplished could not save him. Gamachol Malchi Yisrael Shekomu Ligdor Lekom Kamol Kamimos Avigdor. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there are other kings who tried to patch things up, who tried to bring Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem. Nevertheless, there was nobody like Yeshua HaMelech, nobody as successful as him. Then that means that even more successful than Chizkiah HaMelech. We discussed in Shabbos that Chizkiah HaMelech, it says that he was the greatest of the kings of Yehuda. The debate between the Abarbanel and Rabban, whether that means it was even more effective than David Shlomo HaMelech. That's how powerful Chizkiah. And here, Rav Kalia says Yeshua HaMelech was even more powerful than Chizkiah HaMelech. In Chizkiah's time, it says that Midon Vabesheva, there was every family, every child knew the intricacies of Torah, and Yeshua HaMelech was even more successful. But we know he mentioned many times he got rid of Avodah Zarah, but there were still people who held out and they maintained the Avodah Zarah, and they kept it behind their doors, inside their cabinets, and in such a way that they could not be found out. Apparently Yeshua Melech even had people inspecting. He had some kind of system. He would know if somebody was sitting in Avodah Zarah, and he would root it out. But there were people who maintained the Avodah Zarah in such confined ways, in such devious ways, that Yeshua Melech could not root out Avodah Zarah. Like Sonei Ador, he pointed out in previous years, when that Rav Bechaya writes, that the worst midah is to be a leitzan. Right? A leitzan does not mean a person who entertains, a person who's a clown. A leitz, Rav Bechaya, is a person who is cynical. Because Rav Bechaya points out that a leitz can never grow. And a leitz will never take Musa seriously. A person who's cynical, so he's a person who's always feels whatever happens, he's been there, he's done it, so he doesn't listen. He's not open to person's criticism. Everything he's able to find a leitz is a person who's successful in finding the weak point of somebody else, the weak point of somebody else's argument, and then dismissing it because of that weak point. That's what a leitz can do. A person can have tremendous insight. A leitz is able to find why that person shouldn't have an insight, and then he can dismiss it. So leitzon yador, that's what the Kali was saying. Dovag brechet, leitzon yador. Those people who are scornful, those people who are cynical, those people who never allow themselves to grow and want others to grow. So they are the ones who maintain their allegiance to the Avodah Zarah. Ha'ichlun zera shichor kismoy ha'tev picham ha'shichor v'yidal omen v'yishiv om yomen yachor. And the people, refers to the Egyptians. Apparently there are people who eat some kind of black seed, and they're the ones who ultimately Yeshua fell into their hands. Vayigdal Ovin, Veshir Yomin Ochor, because the Aver of Avodah Zarah grew, and the power of Yeshua was faded. Va'olmer Shalach Yomin Min Atchor, and Hashem no longer sent his hand from the hole. This is a reference to Shir HaShirim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Chosan. Sholach Yodoy Min Achor means that the Chosan kept his hand on the doorknob. The doorknob used to be inset in holes. And when the Chosan came to Klal Yisrael, came to the bride, so he was ready to meet the bride. He was ready for redemption. But it wasn't a good time for us. We had taken off our clothes already, and we had prepared ourselves to go to sleep. So we figured that the chosn will come back in the morning sometime, and we fooled ourselves. We were in a stupor. We didn't think what was really happening. We didn't understand the situation. So we let it slip by. That was Yeshua Melech. Yeshua Melech was Beitz Mechal Kemal Kadosh Baruch Hu was there hoping to be able to bring Mashiach. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a king who was 8 years old. Doesn't happen by itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu inspired Yoshua Melech. Yoshua Melech found the Sefer Torah in Kodesh Kodeshim, where the Kohen Gadol found it, was open to Teichacha. It was Yad Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought that there should be a Yaakov who would ignore all of Eicha, that the Yeshua would take seriously where the Torah is open in Beis HaMikdash. That was Yodai Shalach Menachar. Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving us another opportunity, Beis Menachar Akim. He was hoping that we would jump on the opportunity. And we were in a stupor at that time. We didn't appreciate that if Asher is just the north of Yerushalayim, that if Asher had already laid siege on Yerushalayim Chizkiyahu's time, and we were saved by the miracle, an open miracle of hundreds of thousands of soldiers from Asher dying overnight, so if we weren't aware, we fooled ourselves into thinking that the Beis HaMikdash would keep on going, Yehuda would keep on going, we'd always have a Melech in Yehuda. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has not since sent his hand from the hole. He hasn't come back again since that time. It's another reference over here. We probably pointed out in previous years, and that is that the Medrash on Shalach Yodim and Achor says it refers to Kolosh, the one who allowed us to build the second base of Mikdash. That we point out that the Medrash says that the Chor is a place, shegondal shiotzim, and all those little ants and roaches and bugs, they gather in the dark places. Sholach yonim minachor, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, does send his salvation sometimes to these dark and unexpected places. Koresh was not the person we'd expect to allow us to build a second base of Mikdash. So the old Sholach yonim minachor means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, since Elozer Kalir is saying, from his time on, Kadosh Baruch Hu has not even sent us unexpected people who would bring the Beis HaMikdash back. And then the Paitan goes on to just remind us of how Yoshio suffered. What happened is that the Mitzrayim wanted to fight Asher in the north, and they wanted safe passageway through Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua Melech understood that it was not the time, that we were living in a time when we should have the promise that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael leisavar ba'artzachem, that you will not even have an army going through your land. So Melech Hamani Lechas El Nevaim Lamam Lusamar Chev Kol Shev Ephraim. Yeshua Melech says that I have no Vedizara here. I'm living in a time when I should have the promise of Chev Lusamar Yatzachem. So he didn't allow Mitzrayim to go through. And Yeshaya Anavi comes to him and says, no, you are not Yirmiyahu Anavi. Yirmiyahu Anavi comes to him and says, you don't understand, you've accomplished a lot, but you're not living in that kind of a time. And you haven't, there's still a Avodah Zarah. And the Jews are not fully in line with the Beis HaMikdash and with what you're doing. And Yeshua Melech was caught with that moment of maybe it was a form of hubris, maybe his overprotection of Klal Yisrael. We explained once during the year, that why would Yeshua Melech not want the army to go through? Because Yeshua Melech understood that went against his whole plan, his whole educational plan. When the army goes through, we described once, probably Parshas Mechukosai, we explained that when the army does not go through, Mitzrayim was not going to bring their army through in a squeaky manner, they're going to bring them through in a quiet manner. The army goes through battle, they go in a fashion that's going to build morale. They go with the army bands, they go singing songs, they go with their uniforms. So that's what Yeshua didn't want. Yeshua didn't want the culture of Klal Yisrael to find that to take pride, or didn't want the culture of Klal Yisrael to hold this in esteem, didn't want army bands marching through on the way to victory. That's how armies march to war. That the Yeshua Melech didn't want. That's probably what he said. But at the end of the day, the Melech denied what the Navi told him to do, and as a result, when Mitzrayim came forward and Yeshua Melech with his armies took on Mitzrayim, took him on unsuccessfully, and it says later on in the Kina, Chetz achar chetz morim velochatzim sodu v'shalmu kimator lechitzim v'yizukru boi sholei shmeyos chitzim. Yeshua Melech became like a sack that holds the arrows, and his body absorbed 300 arrows, kalim itu achrav ezon motzor fiyu, and those who rushed afterward to try to pick up the fallen king, they put their ear to his mouth as he was desperately trying to get in his last breath. But nitzui nefesh masa refiyu, and as the life was being squeezed out of him, his actions brought to his mouth ruach sfosav hitzoni piyu tzadik hu Hashem. His last words with Tzidak had been, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he did was right. He was right in taking his life. Because I went against the words of the Navi.
thinking that the last kinam, the kinam of Yeshua,
which Yirmiyo in his own time made a special kinam of Yeshua Melech. So this represents that there are times when the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to bring Mashiach. We know Chizkiyah Melech could have been Mashiach. It means he could have brought the northern tribes back. Yeshua Melech, we assume not only did it forestall the Churban Bayis, but Yeshua Melech could have repaired the relation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, could have maintained Beis HaMikdash, could have brought the north back into Eretz Yisrael, and that could have been the entire second Golos of Klal Yisrael. Matisyo Solomon suggests in one of his essays that when we say Ani ma'amin b'amuna shleima v'viyas ha-mashiach v'af al pisha yismeh, even though it'll be delayed, it's a strange nusach. We don't say that there's no other of the Ani ma'amin. We don't say Ani ma'amin b'amuna shleima that there is a God, and even though there are those who don't believe in God, I still believe Ani ma'amin b'amuna shleima that Moshe is a Navi Emes, even though there are others who say that he's not the Navi Emes. What do you say in Af-al-pi, that there are reasons not to believe. So all of a sudden, when it comes to Mashiach, we say, Ani ma'amin b'amuna shleima, Af-al-pi shi'is ma'amei, even though he's delayed. That's Ani ma'amin. So Solomon suggests that the Af-al-pi shi'is ma'amei means, even though that there are times when we have misused opportunities. Yis ma'amei means, even though it will be delayed. What is it? It will be delayed. Delayed means that Kishbach was made to bring it. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Meitis v'Chalakim, that there were times that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, he's ready. So it was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Yeshua HaMelech, with an own time in 67. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's yours for the taking. So Afal Pi Shi'is Ma'amei, even though there have been times when it looked like we didn't have that kind of emuna, that we weren't ready for it, we weren't thinking, we weren't attuned to what we were saying. Yeah, that's pshat. Afal pi shi'is ma'amei, even though there have been opportunities that we have let slip by, nevertheless we believe that there will be continuous opportunities in Yada. Yada shalach menachoritz. That's to our great pride, and that is to our great disadvantage as well. Because since we know sometimes, maybe because we have this bedrock belief that there'll be other opportunities, I mean, that sometimes blinds us to the opportunities that are at hand. And that's the last kina emet v'shati v'nasati v'nutash oholi, and the Beis HaMikdash was then left. There was no Yeshua Melech, so then anything that would protect the Beis HaMikdash was no longer in place. Only Asher Ta'avta Am Leberashis. And that's when allowed the next kina we say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu had desired this place of Mikdash even from before Bereshis. Lama LaNetzach should be Asher, and how could it be that the same base of Mikdash that Kadosh Baruch Hu yearned for and planned, base of Mikdash is the plan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu built a world so that there'll be a Klal Yisrael, so that there'll be a Matan Torah, so that there'll be a Mishkan. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world so that Kadosh Baruch Hu will be able to live in this world. And the Beis HaMikdash allows the Kadosh Baruch Hu to live in this world. The Tzimtzum. Kadosh Baruch Hu built a world so that he would be mitzamsen himself, that he would limit himself and be able to relate to the people in this world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is much greater than this world. Philosophically, Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot relate to this world. The physical and the non-physical coming to contact can't happen. It's not supposed to happen. Shimshon and Menayach said that if I've seen God have to die to lay any other machayim, means it's not supposed to happen. The physical and non-physical are such different worlds, they can't relate to each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamsem. Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow worked out that he'll be able to relate to a finite substance. And that it was that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be able to share in his greatness, and therefore he had to create something that is limited and finite. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzamsem himself. That's what the Beis HaMikdash represents. Beis Hamikdash represents that Kadosh Baruch Hu can limit himself to a physical place, and that we will somehow be able to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu to that physical place. So the entire plan of the world rests on the success of Beis Hamikdash. So always your ta'avta, you can imagine when the Churban bias is not the distancing of the Kadosh Baruch Hu from Klal Yisrael alone. But the Churban bias means that always your ta'avta, Abin Nereshis, that the plan that the Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind is not happening. Lomel and Netzach shouldn't be excited in. So, and not only that, but it's in the hands of robbers. People who are running the Har HaBayis, they're not supposed to be Har HaBayis right now. They should have been. The people who are, the fact that Har HaBayis, the Mokan HaMikdash, is the one thing, if the Mokan HaMikdash was in nobody's hand. But for the Mokan HaMikdash to be in the hands of Arabs, that is Shudan Biyad Shaydadin. It's plunderers. But not just plundering the Mokan HaMikdash. But they rob the plan of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Niyesa Kiroya Boitia, the Ra'ashtu Ragat of Atamali Toy. So we say, so that's the case. What are we doing over here? Who, in other words, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then so much of the plan of the world is on hold, not happening. All the Shechimam to Leisoni Emetz, the Chedas Niyefa, Kadosh Baruch Hu established a place for Yitzchak. We brought it for the Akedah. So Lomel Lenetzach Tumas Biyad Sarim. So how could that place now be the place of Akedah Yitzchak? Place of the ultimate sacrifice made by a person? So Mali Didi Fo. So what are we doing over here? Ol Yishepatz L'manai Letzir V'yatam Mod Imodi Fo. That's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ato Po Amod Imodi. So if the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe that that's the place where Basa the Dom got to meet the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then the Yisra Kisayni Yitzor V'ayi Ivui Moshe Po, is according to Midrashim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow conjoined Haram Moriah with Har Sinai. So that's what this Midrash is pointing out. Every this Kina, and that's where every Kina ends with Malachofoy, Milachofoy, Levanipo. That the question, the whole enterprise of Beis HaMikdash is not functioning, so then that means that the what the Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind for Klal Yisrael and ultimately for the entire world is not where it's supposed to be. All the shita avta amri the ratios on kisei kol in the tzayf and lomel and that's what should have been I say to them. Next Kina is Kina Yud Dalad. Next is Kina Yud Dalad. Echa Esa Shekavor Oso. Some of the Kinos, you know, is in its right place, and it follows right now. Echa Esa Shekavor Oso. And some have, I don't know why, have rearranged some of the Kinos. But the next Kina follows. We just finished up Echa Yor Viapo. So the next Kina, Echa Esa Shekavor Oso. And this follows along the theme that we just mentioned, that the idea of Golos and the idea of being abandoned is already part long before Chavayis. The Python opens up that this is even part of the establishment of the world. That when the Torah opens up by saying, the land became desolate, so that was a hint that there will be times when we will feel abandoned, there will be times when Eretz Yisrael will be abandoned. The Medrash says that the world that we live in is the seventh world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created many worlds and destroyed them. These are all different indications that Kadosh Baruch Hu does have in place a system which is there to create the ability to bring things back into focus and to make things work the way it initially planned. And that's why in the next paragraph, Bonei v'chorei v'bonei bi'achris, v'michorei kalkolosei achris, Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed and built, destroyed and built. Just like he did it with the world, so he did it with the Beis HaMikdash. Hechos ishen choshech miyuda v'kadmonim chazu miguda. That the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they all saw that there was going to be some churban and golos later on. The Medrash writes that when Avraham Avinu at Pirish Ben Avsarim, it says, Eimach HaSheicha Nefemah Salam, that this terrible darkness fell upon him, that he was being told about later golos and churban. Medrash Rabbah writes, in Gracious, and the Bris Ben Absorim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu a choice, that either he could, he said that the children ultimately are going to end up veering away from the Bris that we're making. So you have a choice, either I could end this early, I could terminate Klal Yisrael early, or I could throw them out of Eretz Yisrael later on and give them Churban and Golus. And the Medrash writes that Avraham Avinu didn't answer Ribono Shel Olam. Avraham Avinu saw how difficult and painful Golus was going to be, how the difficulties that Klal Yisrael would suffer. Avraham Avinu did not know what was better. Until Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I'm going to give you Eimach HaSheicha Nefemah Salam, I'm going to give you Golus and Churban. And the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu passed on this song later on to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, that is, the Kadmoinim Chazol Mebuda. And the early ones already saw that I'm going to build a Mikdash, that it'll also be leveled later on.
The next kina is the kina that we skipped. Eikai Oimer Kores La'Abethetach. In many arrangements, it's the next kina. It should be many. It's Yud Gimel, the one that we skipped, and it follows when we just said Rognu La'Hamir L'Shen Eicha V'L'Shen Eikai, that we said the lashon of Eicha by saying Eikai, where the various kos that have around which we can arrange so much of the of our history. Koyil Zaracha Lanetzach, where is the Koyil Zaracha? That's what we open up with. Where is the Neilcha Ad Koy? Let us go to this particular place. It's the second paragraph. That's what Avraham Avinu said to Yitzchak. Neilcha Ad Koy. Let's go to this place. Eikoy of Tochas Akudim, when Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu he would take care of his parnosa, he said in Ko Yomar Lovan Akudim Yuschorech. So that's the, where is that promise? Eikoy Zom, the Hovag Mitzri and Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri Vayifen Koy Machoy. So he turned in all different places. Eikoy Toiv Shulach Yo'ol Avadecha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu, so Koyim Seimal of Nei Yisrael. He tells them, tell the people that I'm sending you. Eikoy Kirisas Chadoshes Brisos. When Kadosh Baruch Hu sends the news of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Koy Amar Hashem Kachatzoy Salayla. Eikoy Nishma Moshe Umoshe Ola. Koyim Seimal Lindvas Beis Meula. Now when the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Torah, it's Ko Somar the base Yaakov. Eikoy Siach Shishim Moisiyos Koy Sivochus B'nei Yisrael the Bracha Abirchas Koinim. Eikoy Potz the Kov Om, that's the Koy Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Bilam,
v'chol sidaber. Shov el bolok v'chol sidaber. Eikoi kichas levim shleimecha. That when we set aside levim, it's koi satzulem letarvam. And eikoi shiva shayfes eretz, when we took down Yericho, it's koi sasa sheshes yamin. So the koi has always been such an important part, and is a part of Haftachos. Promise the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael. So we say, where are all those codes, where are all those promises? Second paragraph is Neilcha Ad Ko. The Rav, one of his earlier drushes, he said that when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak the Akedah and told Yishmael and Eliezer to stay behind, Aniva Na Nechad Ko, said, you stay here with the Chamorim and we and Yitzchak are going to go further. The Rav pointed out that that was an important remez ledoros, that there'll be many times when the Jews and the nations of the world will be able to get to a certain point, but we only go together till a certain point, and after that point, then it's Avram and Yitzchak go alone. There are many things that we can do with the rest of the world, but our mission, our goal, our focus on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there, Am Levodad Yishkan. Then we separate ourselves. The Rav used this approach and this metaphor when he explained how that when Orthodox Jews and Jews are not shomer mitzvahs, there's many things that we were able to do together. Our concerns for the welfare of Klal Yisrael, we can often work on these things together. But there's a certain point we separate. And then we have to realize how different we are. There's a very impressive essay was published by one of the Rabbanim in Yonah Sherman. I forget his name right now. And he writes in this essay that when he was young, he didn't accept this essay of the Rav. He writes, he was an essay that was written in response to what happened last summer, the disengagement from Gaza. Avigisa, right. So I didn't realize how important this drush of the Rav was till I read his essay. He was growing up, he writes that he didn't take it seriously. He thought that the secular Zionists and the religious Zionists really could forge a covenant together that would really build Eretz Yisrael, and that would be, and ultimately would be the footing of Mashiach and the next base of Mikdash. And he dismissed it, and he said it was only when it came to this engagement that he realized that what the Rav was saying really addresses Klal Yisrael, that there can be many projects, many enterprises in which all of us all get together very, very successfully. But when it comes to things that have to be invested with Ruchnias, so it's V'niva Nar Necha Adkoi. And he was writing about his own tremendous disappointment. I mean, talking about a philosophical disappointment. And he wasn't writing for himself. He was writing for his a large group of religious Zionists who are responsible for the Ruach HaTorah that does exist in so many aspects of the state, responsible for Hezder and everything that Hezder has accomplished. So for him to write such a profound disappointment, because that's, it was only last year that he realized what the Rav was saying, V'niva Na'an Elchad Koi, that there are very, very, very important junctures within Klal Yisrael with Avram Yitzchak going along. That's what we're saying, a ko, where are the different ko's, Where is it? The Ani v'Anar Necha Ad Ko. What are these points? Because Baruch Hu was going to nurture things along with those who had Kadosh Baruch Hu's goals and Kadosh Baruch Hu's promises in mind. And with that, the word Eicha takes on such new meaning. Eicha Oimer Koyres La'amit Etzach Viviz Benam Sorim Koyil Anetzach Meina Tov Bula U'atzamai Bevetzach L'Melehim Zanachto L'Netzach Eicha Idosh Kesel Oimer L'Vetzisecho Nilchad Koy Pitu Vetzisecho Meina Tov Dukom U'Kethelach Vayesecho Yes, and I'm called the same Abbey Secho. A Koyatoha, Sakudim the Kudim. The next kingdom begins Zechor Asher Osa Tzor Befinim. Again, in some kinos it's the next one, some kinos it's the one after the next one. Some kinos form it's Tez Zayin, meaning skipping the one that's coming up and going to one after that. But that is the one that flows from the previous kinos Gimel. Ad Mosra Elohim Yechor of Tzor. How long will Hashem allow this Chil Hashem to take place, that the enemy is able to speak about Hashem in disgraceful manners? Zechor Asher Osa Tzor Befinim. Remember the terrible things that Titus did inside the Beit HaMikdash. It describes how he stabbed and drew blood from the Teroiches. It describes how he killed the little children. Describes how he took the Pareches and violated a woman on the Mizbeach. And the Chorash also said with him, we learned this weekend that when Kadosh Baruch Hu saved Chizkiyahu HaMelech from Sennacherib, so Hashem says to Chizkiyahu, I saved you because of the Gidufim, because of the disgraceful things that Sennacherib was saying. So when we say Zechor Asher Osa Tzor Befinim, so we're also saying that we don't see ourselves as being deserving of being in bias, but Zechor Asher Osa Tzor Befinim, but look at the Chil Hashem and the impression, the lasting impression of that. And for that reason alone, Kadosh Baruch Hu should turn things around. Zechor Asher Osa Tzor Befinim Shalachavim Uvalus Nivzim Namaseinu Be'ez Tinei Tinei Lechem Aponim Megidim Vareches Baal Hashtei Ponim Yisomim Gial Vimogen Mo'odom Yimadei Kov Vimare Adamdom Vimare The next kina, the kina eicha shvosa ipasuach hakever, and that is again in some kinas it follows, in others it is the one that we skipped as well. And after this, I think all of them will be in the order that will follow. Eicha shvosa ipasuach hakever uleroidi ba'afis if eva ani agever. This kina is arranged in such a way that the first paragraph, that the first line of every paragraph begins with a pasuk from the first parak of eicha, and the second from the second parak of Eicha, and every paragraph ends with a pasuk from the third parak of Eicha. And the significance of this is that the parak Aleph, Beis, and Dalet of Eicha were originally a nevuah to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he wrote them in prison, and he sent them to Yoakim, and when Yoakim received it, so he read part of it, and then threw the Megillah into the fire, and as if to say that with that he dismissed the entire Nevuah. And then the Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yirmiyahu to write the Nevuah over again, but then to add in the third parak, Ani Agever, Ro Ani, and the third parak is the kina that Yirmiyahu Anavi makes over the first three parakim of the parak Aleph Beis, now is being ignored. And that is symbolic, or it's not symbolic, but that has become a metaphor for Yirmiyahu's life, that Yirmiyahu was very much distanced by the people, as was Amos, as was Ishaya, that when he had bad things to say, people did not want to listen to him. And he writes, Ani agever ro oni b'shevet erosai. I am the person who has seen this great aggravation, b'shevet erosai, and the staff of God's anger. What Yirmiyahu Novi is pointing out over here is Yirmiyahu said this when, I think Yashav points this out in one of his drushes, that Yirmiyahu said this when things were, when Yerushalayim was at a fully active place, when people could not imagine, and no one could imagine Yerushalayim would be destroyed. So you can imagine getting up in Yerushalayim at a time when Yerushalayim is fully functioning. They said, Mikdash is fully functioning. He says, Ani Agever, I'm the one person who saw this, Mishan Erosi. It can drive a person mad to be the only person who sees things that nobody else sees. Well, Yoshev relates that to what we discussed a few moments ago, when Avram Avinu brought Yitzchak to the Akedah. So before Avram Yitzchak marched on, so he says to the everybody around, "What do you see?" So they all said, "We see a mountain. We see a hill." Yitzchak said, "I see Anan Yaakov." Yitzchak saw things at a time when nobody else, and then he saw Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection. He saw the need to bring a korban. But what Yirmiyahu is saying is, Ani Agever, I'm the one person. Yirmiyahu says that at one point he wishes he wouldn't have been born. He wouldn't have had this mission that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him. He's the only person to see the tragedies that are ahead. And he writes it. That's the kina of Paragimel. To see the tragedy is marching on and coming when everybody else is moving around as if there's nothing at all to worry about, nothing to be concerned about. And Yirmiyahu, the fact that you're aggravating people, you're announcing these things, so you're thrown into a pit more than once. First by the Kohen, then he gets saved by a Kohen, then the king puts it into a pit. So that's the kina that this is focusing on. Rosa Kali is writing on behalf of Yirmiyahu, how he mourns how he was ignored, and how he had to witness not only the upcoming tragedy, but had to witness being ignored and not people not taking him seriously. It's not unlike individuals here and there who did see some of the dangers of 9/11. There were individuals who did see things, but it wasn't politically correct to be concerned about these things. And Eretz Yisrael as well. The individuals who saw certain cracks in the security, but for whatever reasons, people didn't want to hear. But when you see things that others don't see, and it bespeaks of great costs of human life later on, so then there's a pain, an aggravation, caven to seeing those things. And that's what Yirmiyahu writes about. And that's what it was, a clear rephrase over here. Echa ashbos in the soul together.